Let's go.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast. It's Sunday morning here, and I'm here with Cindy, Dad. I'm Tim, and I'm with Dell. And before we get going, we just want to do a shout-out to Spreads.ca, our sponsor. They're an online casino and sports book tailored to Canadians. And sign up now and use the promo Grapes, and they'll match your deposit for $500. And they'll give you a $25 free bet on the sports bet for the first one. And Dad, we've been doing okay. It's tough. It's tough picking hockey, and So what caught your eye on the last couple of days?
Well, last night, I know a lot of people aren't interested, but I think it's interesting. Mario Scandell was plus four in and two goals, and St. Louis beat San Jose. Now, I have to say, Binghamton, I don't know what somebody must have said something to him or something. He's a big, tall guy. Hey, I remember when he was playing Boston last year, or when they were in the finals, and I was in the elevator with him. Boy, he's a big, tall guy. Yeah. I remember that night. I remember that. It was so as clear as anything. He says, "Oh, Will, we're in." And I thought,
Was that game seven?
That was the same seventh game. And he said, "Oh, we'll win."
So game seven in Boston. And if you remember, he got hammered pretty good on brutal. Game six. So everybody thought, well, this is over. Game seven, 2 years ago, Boston.
Rass played so good.
And they thought, well, this is over. And then.
He told me in the elevator, he said, "We'll win." I said, sure.
You know, the one thing, just kind of go, remember last week, and you talked about goalies and taking a long time. Like, how long was he in the minors kind of slugging away and then got his chance? And that's why, you know, they don't pick goalies that early because you got to be seasoned in the minors. And
Richmond Hill, he's from. And Binghamton, I've always liked that guy. And if you watch the highlights, he went bananas last night.
Yeah, he got pulled and he was going by the bench. San Jose must have said something. And he went over and pushed their guy. And then he faked to hit the guy as he's going. But that Dubnyk, he's pretty big. And then San Jose's goalie kind of went. So, were you
happy or sad when you pulled a goalie? You didn't pull a goalie very much.
Never pulled a goalie in Boston.
I
can't remember. Do you remember, Tim? Nope. You know why? I did. I wanted
you
to.
You let them suffer. Like, there's no, a pity no, pull,
here's
isn't
the,
there?
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. If you pull them, and it works sometimes. You know, you get a new goaltender in there. But if you pull them, they start looking to the bench. Well, then we saw somebody this year looking over to the bench.
Yeah. Well, we see a lot of times when we're out scouting.
Yeah.
And the guys, some guys think they're, they're really Mike Keenan pulling the goalies in a couple of goals, and you'll see the goalies looking at the bench.
You'll see them looking at the bench. And is he going to pull me? And their mind's not on the game. The way I felt about the two goalies I had, who set records, by the way, it's
Gary
easy to
Cheevers
do.
Gary Cheevers and Jilly Gilbert.
Yeah. That you got us into this mess. Now get us out. And that's the way.
So you let them sink with the team. You didn't worry about their confidence.
I was the time Sittler scored all those points. I never forget.
On Davey Reese.
Yeah. Davey Reese. Davey Reese was 3-1 at the time.
Did we ever tell the story of why you didn't pull that poor goalie?
Yeah, that was.
I mean, you really.
He was 3-1 at the time. He was.
Yeah. Tell the story why you didn't pull him, though. Because a lot of people say, why wouldn't your dad pull poor goalie out of that disaster?
He's just a kid. He's a rookie, too.
So just a thing that Daryl Sittler went on a tear. Got how many points did he get?
Like 10, I think.
10 points. And
a record.
I was at that game in Toronto.
And a record. And we were having a tough time, and you just let Davey Reese in.
Here's what happened. We're a first-place club. And Cheevers was playing for Cleveland. He was playing in the WHA, that's the World Hockey Association. And Jilly got hurt the night before, something like that. So Jilly had to, Jerry Cheevers had to be the backup goalie. Now he hadn't played, and he hadn't played in the NHL, and he just came in, I think, that day, and he did the whole deal. So he was sitting there with his towel.
That white towel around his neck.
Yeah, he had the white towel around his neck. And so I, 3-1, and we're a first-place club. They were a third-place club.
They were pretty good, though.
But they were still a third-place club.
Yeah.
So
you had no skin in the game, really, in the sense
that
you were
first
place.
We'd won the night before. we were so far ahead in the points and everything like that. So anyhow, so I kind of felt sorry for him. And I guess. And well, you know, the goals are going in.
They were going off everywhere. Every time Sittler shot the puck, it was going off. Gary Doker was going off.
Remember when off Park?
It in the net. He was shooting from behind the net. They were going in.
And this is on Hockey Night in Canada.
Hockey Night in Canada. And it was a big deal. So I looked down at Cheevers. Hey, I thought, geez, you know, the first time I rescue this guy, and Cheevers put the towel over his head.
He put it right over his head.
Right over his head. So what am I going to do? So I left him in there,
and that was it for him. His career. Yeah, right?
That was the last game Reeves ever played. He never played another game.
But the thing was, people thought because he didn't play because he was so bad that night. It wasn't. It was just that you had, holy smokes, you had, you know, Jerry Cheevers and Gilly Gilbert. So it wasn't that, you know, he was a bad goalie. No. It was the timing, right? For the kid.
He wasn't. There was a few goals. Let's say a few went off.
Only needed two goalies at the time those two guys.
I know we're getting off on a tangent here, but was he the goalie that Bobby Orr was taking shots at? And then you pulled a joke and it ended up not being funny.
Well, it wasn't funny at all. Orr never talked to me for a month. What I said was, Bobby was so good though. He'd pick the corner every time, and he'd shoot at the goalie and hit the pad. And so I saw this game after practice, just shooting the pad. So you learn, eh? And I said, you're not, Davey Reese tells me that you're not helping him at all, not picking the corners. And he knows you're just shooting at his pads. Holy smoke. Bing, zing, bing, zing, bing. You know, a corner,
It must have been kind of deflating.
Well, I didn't know what to do now. I can't go up to Bobby and say, stop it.
Stop trying so
hard. Well, I thought maybe he would just drift away. And, so anyhow,
so that was the last recommendation.
And then the players told him after what I said, because I said as a joke, and it didn't turn out to be a joke. I'll tell you, poor kid. I felt sorry for him. So there I left him in the game in Toronto, and I told Bobby Orr to score on him every time. Nice guy. No wonder he even mentions my name.
So what do you think of that last night, the Leafs and Edmonton? So
anybody in that game had a wet underwear, as the coaches say. I mean, talk about a non-hitting. I mean, and Leafs just fool around. They fool around with them. And you know what's funny? I know that Smith wanted him. Mike Smith wanted him to look good because he's from Kingston. He's Glen Burnie. I hope so. Hockey Night in Canada. And McDavid wanted to look good. He was the best player in the world. And he didn't play very good. And of all the games, and they've been playing pretty good up until then, but the Leafs just fooled with them, just had some fun with them.
The thing I couldn't get over was, again, how well Jason Spezza is playing.
I hate to say it. All the old guys, Simmons before he broke his thumb or whatever he broke, and all the old guys.
Can you say veterans instead of old guys?
No, veterans, okay. Veterans.
Say veterans.
All right.
I'll just say old, but they're older veterans. John Tavares is an older, and
he's doing good on draws, boy. He's 13-5.
I know, but I just couldn't get over Jake. Like, walked down, faked a shot, went wide, and Smith just was like he was stuck in cement.
He went down on the wrong side. He's a left-hand shot, eh?
Yep.
And he's going down. He faked. He looked over at the left-hand guy coming down, and he pulled the goalie off the hate to say it was Smith, pulled him off the post,
Jason always looks like he has a good time when he scores.
But I mean, I see after the games guys are laughing or something, and boy, I'd say something to the Bruins. They're laughing at home. They go bananas. But the guys, that they're having a good time. I'll say one thing. That game, if anybody had a wet underwear.
But you've always said, though, Dad, like, you watched the games with Campbell. I mean, he could have played 10 periods and got a shutout. There was nobody in front of him. He saw every shot.
Every shot, yeah. I like to look at the games. Well, beat LA Kings, Ryan Sutter. I had to get the Sutters in there. It was +4. I know you. Detroit beat Chicago. Chicago's been hot, though. You have to admit, Kane has been pretty good. Mark Stahl was a plus three, and I always cheer for Yzerman. I hope, I don't know why, I always cheer for Detroit. You don't hear much about Yzerman.
Well, he was really nice. Remember what he said when he won the Stanley Cup with Detroit about Mom?
Yeah.
He mentioned Mom. Mom had just passed away that June 97, and he mentioned Mom.
I got to tell a quick story about Steve Yzerman, though, okay? We had him on the Grapevine show. Remember, if you remember, we had him on the Grapevine show. So what we did was, back then, was we shot the actual show in our actual restaurant.
In Hamilton.
In Hamilton. And that day, the air conditioner broke down. And so you have all these lights.
And he has a sweater on.
It was the middle of the summer. He had a sweater on. And the air conditioner broke down. And we have probably 150 people jammed in the place. You have all these hot lights. And it is like a sauna in there. It is like a movie. The sweat is pouring off of, and we have our makeup lady. I don't know if it was Sandy Richards or the other lady.
Well, he's nervous anyhow.
And he's nervous because back then, those guys were never interviewed like that, right?
Yeah, and there was no.
So our makeup lady, she was waiting, and as soon as the camera was at you, she'd run in and tap him down. And remember, we had stopped. It had to be 110 degrees.
He was gripping off his nose. And he was nervous anyhow, and he'd try to wipe it off. And
I remember that. But that's why I root for Steve Harris. He's a great guy, and he was always good to us.
He was always good to us, and so I cheer for Detroit. They're a lousy club, and they win once in a while. So I always match them all the time.
So you mentioned Detroit, Dad. You got a nice present for Dell.
Yes,
and tell him, and you got that in Detroit.
All right, I will. I don't wear fancy jewelry anymore. I have no need of it anymore. And Dell's a construction guy and he's an electrician, but I know he goes out once in a while. And what happened was Ron and I drove over. Did I tell this story? But I'm going to tell it again anyway.
We can even go back further. You were in a couple of years before the story starts, that you were in New Jersey, and a great big guy, he was 6'4", walked up to you and said, hello.
I was just sitting there watching the warm-up.
And he says, hello, Don, I'm Troy Crowder, and I'm with the Devils. He was in Utica at the time, Utica Devils. He was in the American League. And he says, I'm going to make the National Hockey League, and I'm going to beat up Bob Probert.
And I said, look, well, he's big enough. And I said, good luck, kid. And that's all he said, and he walked on.
Two years later,
he had a fight in
New Jersey.
New Jersey, and boy, did they ever go at it. And I'd have to say 6-4.
If I remember correctly, Bob never wore tie-downs.
No.
And he got the jersey over.
Oh, he did a good number.
And he cut him. He cut him over the eye. So.
And, you know, you cut Probert, you're a champ now. Yeah, it must have been tough on Probert at the time. Every tough guy. And so now they're having a rematch
in Detroit.
And he said some things, but he wasn't.
Well, the press was playing it up like it was Ali Frazier.
Champion. Yeah, it was unbelievable. So I said to Ron McLean, I said, you know, we should see that game. So we phone, we're going to drive over. Yeah, we're going to drive from, He said, there's no tickets. Well, I said, well, no. He said, there is no tickets. It is sold out. The press box is packed. He said, I have two tickets up in the nosebleed. He says, they must have canceled or something. So we sat way up high. You know, I remember that game now. I'll tell you that game now. I remember the fight. Well, I'll tell the fight.
Well, just before you get into it, too, remember you guys were walking in, you saw the referee and the linesman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we saw the linesman. I said, look, don't break up this fight. We drove all the way. He says, are you kidding? And the linesman, I said, we want to see this one ourselves. Imagine the linesman saying that now. Oh, yeah. So I wouldn't say anything. He knew he could say that to me because I wouldn't say nothing in hockey. So anyhow, it was a beauty fight. I remember Probert hit, and it was pretty even.
Yeah.
And I think Probert hit the second fight.
Yeah, they fought twice in that game, yeah.
And the first time, it was down in the corner, and the second time, he beat him the second time. He hit him so hard, his helmet flew straight up. Anyhow, it was a good fight. So now, we said, well, look, we got to drive back. We have to leave. And you don't have to leave early. So when we get up, I had a lovely leather coat, beautiful leather coat. But during the time while I was sitting there, JJ and the crew from Detroit radio station came up and gave me a watch, you know, and amongst the, all the thing, and I just shoved it in my pocket. Thanks a lot. And on the way home, I look, and it's a long Gene Whitnor. It's all gold and the thin, you know, and everybody had great big watches. You get hit if you take them off. You could, and this one was the style, you know, you
very
look,
stylish. Yeah,
yeah, you really look at it.
And it's engraved in the back.
Yeah,
which took a thought process.
Thanks, JJ and the crew.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I have to end this here. So we get up. This is a true story. I know this is hard to believe, but as we get up, they all start to clap. And I looked down on, and Ray Scampanella is the linesman, and he turned and looked, and Bernie Nichols, and I forget the other guy, who the other guy was, or the other linesman, the centerman, and they stopped, and they held up the game while we left. So now we get up, and we get on the air, and the policemen are there, and the police came and, you know, took us on the air, on the elevator. And as Ron went to get on the other, they pushed them off. I thought, okay, you let that guy.
Let them go. Was that the place where you and Ron were having a drink? This might not be it. And someone fell into a river?
No, that was no, that, that was a long. That's a longer story.
That's a longer
but
story.
But anyhow.
We'll save that story.
No. Yeah, we'll save that one. But I got, and so I saw the watch, and Dell's got the watch. So if he goes out on a date, He can wear it. Because
yeah,
I don't
be
wear them anymore. I used to wear it all the time on Hockey Night in Canada. I used to have it on all the time because it was, and anyhow, that was it. So how did we get into that?
We'll talk about
Detroit.
Detroit,
yeah.
Steve Eisman.
All right. I'll quick. Tampa beat Dallas last night. Stamkos was +2. Pittsburgh won last night. Letang got 2 goals. And Nashville. Dante, I love that name. Dante Fabro was +2, and on my street, we had Drake. I hope I pronounced the name Caglia. I hope I pronounced the name right. He got a goal the other night.
His parents just live down the road from you.
Just down the road, and he got a goal, and he had a fight. And he was +1, so that's
well,
pretty
he was,
good.
He was just an assist away from a Gordie Howe hat trick.
If he just had got an assist.
Do you know that Gordie Howe, though, he got that all in the first period.
In one period?
One period. He got a goal. How did it go? He scored a goal. Right after he scored the goal, somebody hit him, and he got into a fight right after the goal.
Yeah,
he
wouldn't
And then he
fight
came
him.
Out of the penalty box and got an assist, and he only had it once, I think.
Gordie Howe, everybody was afraid of Gordie Howe when he played. But him and Lou Fontanato was afraid of nobody, and he describes it. And he saw a little schmozzle going around the net, and he saw Lou Fontanato coming, and he just broke his nose. Remember, and his picture was in the paper. It was in Life, and they had a picture of his nose. And we had Lou Fontanato on the Grapevine Show, and he didn't want to talk about it, did he?
Yeah, he kind of joked a little bit about it. You know, he didn't say too much. But Gordie, I remember Gordie Howe talking about it and it happened a game before.
Yeah,
that he said that Lou Fontanato crotch checked him and almost cut his ear off.
Oh,
and he
yeah.
said so. He says oh, I yeah. had a. He says I had. He goes look like a turban on. And Lou Fontanato said, what's the matter with your ear, Gordy?
Yeah.
So then the next came out, I guess Gordy gave the stick and split his lip open. And he says, what's the matter with your lip, Lou?
Yeah.
So I guess the next game, he says, there was a fight. And he says, I remember Gordy.
I saw him coming.
He said, he goes, it was deja vu. He says, I knew he was on the ice. And he says, I always knew who was on the ice. And he looked and he goes, and Lou was coming in. And I guess he just corked him as he came in. And but at the time, Lou Fontanato, remember they did a big article on him in one of a magazine in the
Life.
U.S.? Because it was, he played for New York, right?
Yeah, New York Rangers.
And he was like a real big guy, and they had him like, he looked like a weightlifter, and they had pictures of him and all that, and then they had it, of the fight, they had it in Life magazine.
And Life magazine was a great big picture, speaking of pictures. They used to have speaking of pictures. Anyhow. That was Gordie Howe and Detroit, and I'm glad Detroit's doing a little better and because of Stevie Eiserman.
So, Dad, I think one of the big news this week was Claude Julien and our buddy Kirk Muller were let go by Montreal. And funny thing is, they have a 6-1 on the road, and they can't win at home this year. They can't win at home last
Unbelievable.
Year.
Unbelievable. Whatever they're doing at home. But they always have, you know, it used to be when you walked into Montreal in the 70s, I mean,
it was automatic.
It was automatic. They only lost one game at home, and we were the ones that beat them.
Well, so, and now you can't blame that they're under pressure from their fans, because, right?
I don't know what happened back in, Montreal, it was, like you said, it was automatic, and I don't know why they can't win at home. They must be doing something wrong.
Yeah, they're 3-5-0 right now at home, and they're 6-1-5 on the road.
Unbelievable. And, you know, and that shows you good character. They got good character. I have to say it, and you know, I had him in the prospect game, and I think he'll agree that he's not Corey Price is not playing the way Price can play, and I you know, in those long term contracts, I'm not knocking, well, I guess I am knocking him, but what do you get, a 10-year contract at $10 million, and I think he's got 6 years to go. I mean, I often tell when somebody asks me. What's the greatest thing a team can have or a player can have is hunger. And I think that, I think he's hungry anymore. It's the same thing as Skinner in Buffalo.
Man.
I mean,
he's 7 years left on a $9 million a year contract.
Gets $9 million a year.
And in 2 years, he gets a $7 million signing bonus.
Well, that ought to be nice. Yeah, imagine that.
They don't have to sing for their supper, that's
well,
for sure.
Well, the guy was caught in between, you know, he could have gone.
He had 40 goals when they signed
40
him.
Goals, and he
So figured. Would you say that Carey Price cost those two guys their jobs?
Well, I think if when he's having coffee with his wife, he said, if I had been playing the way I can play, the way Carey Price can play.
Man. Well, we were talking, Dad, about the new coach, Dominic Ducharme, and last night listening to the game, and they said, and still winless after two games.
Oh, yeah. I remember you saying that to me. I remember I took over, and I'll tell you how I took over, but I took over halfway through the season. I was the player. And I remember they had a picture of me.
In Rochester, this was.
Rochester, New York, yeah. And I was taking over, and a great big picture of me, and I still have it. Cherry winless in 0-3. I never forgot, and I hate to see that. I as a joke, I'm saying this as a joke, but Bergeron's got to get a haircut. I mean, I know you're not supposed to get a haircut, but they're getting a shot in Montreal this Monday, I guess, so he can get a haircut. Good heavens.
Well, if he could get his dog groomed, but he can't get a haircut.
That's
right.
Yeah. Dog grooming is essential.
You do your dog. You're in the dog grooming.
I went back to dog grooming, my love of my life. And yes, I am an essential person in society.
You are the best, isn't he? And I, you know.
Thank you.
No, you are the best when you do a dog. You don't do our dogs. The reason you don't do our dogs, and this is the first time I'm telling you, the reason you don't do that, our dog, is that if you say you did the nails,
yes,
I know you've never done it, but it would be my luck that you'd do the nails and you'd make them bleed.
Oh yes, yeah.
Don't want worlds colliding.
Yeah, we cherries believe in worlds not colliding.
Yeah.
So I think it's best that you go somewhere else, because if you don't like wait, I groom it, and I did it once, and you were really nervous. You were more nervous than the dogs.
Yeah, I got two Westies now. I used to have bull terriers. I don't have bull terriers.
You were nervous, me cutting.
Well, I was where you, anyhow. Yeah. How did we get into that?
I don't know. We were saying Bergeron needed a haircut.
Oh, yeah. Bergeron needed a haircut, but he can get a haircut now.
I think next week,
Dad. He's a sharp guy.
Next week, we're going to kind of wrap up soon, but I think next week, let's talk about, you know, unfortunately, it's not nice guys getting fired, but we'll talk about all the guys.
Okay, I'm going to tell one guy getting fired. I always remember this before. Is Billy Ray for Chicago. This is no kidding. I think he won the Stanley Cup. Anyhow, he's in Chicago, and he's in the hotel room. He's on the road. And he's taking off his coat, and he sees a note underneath the door. You're fired. So we must get into about all the guys. It's not a joke. Kirk will get another job, I'm sure. Julian will get another job. They wanted a French guy in there. They wanted a real French guy. Julian was kind of an English guy.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting because this is, you know, this will be his first time he's a head coach, but he was a head coach in junior, but he's never coached in the American League. So, like, do you think that's a big jump from junior to a head coach in the National League?
I really do. I mean, I think I remember the mistakes I made in the American Hockey League that I and I was still making them my first year in the NHL. You learn. And I must.
Well, it's different coaching kids than guys, right?
Yeah.
It's but a didn't lot you also, sorry, Deb, but didn't you also say there's a difference between being an assistant coach and a head coach? You have a whole philosophy on those two.
I could go on and on about it.
Well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that next week. But
okay.
We're going to kind of wrap it up, and we're going to give a trivia question out there to the fans. Who's the only player that you?
Do I tell? I know.
Yeah, you can tell. Who you coached in Rochester in the American League, then you coached him in Boston, and then you coached him in Colorado.
Yes, it's my good friend, and I just love him like a brother, is Bobby Schmutz. And Bobby Schmutz was the guy that had me, he come down from Vancouver, and he must have done something in Vancouver, and they sent him down, and I think he had 4,000 points.
He played seven games. He had 7 goals and 15 points.
Get out.
Yeah.
And they must have thought we were doing too good, so they took him back. And he taught me how to play. And I asked him, did you? And I don't think he ever remembered, but I saw him do something, cover the points, and you know how paranoid I was with covering the points and running around. And I don't think he even remembered. Anyhow, Bobby Schmutz.
I think the one story that he was kind of like, would you call him the straw boss?
He was the guy that could get me. If somebody did something wrong, he'd come and tell me. And I'd go bananas.
So he wasn't your captain?
He wouldn't be a good captain. He wouldn't have been a good captain. He was like the straw boss. He was like a straw boss. And Dell would recognize this, is that on construction, there's somebody getting the same money as him, but if something went wrong, he'd be the first guy to come to say something about something.
To the boss.
To the boss. You get no more money than the rest of the guys, but they call him the straw boss, and he was always the straw boss.
Yeah, I remember the one story you told that he was, I think it was in the 76-77 season, he was in a terrible slump before the playoffs, and you were in your office with Harry.
Was it the playoffs, or did we go for the first round?
No, it was because I think you got a bye the first round that year.
Oh, that's right.
So it was going into the playoffs. He was in a horrible slump.
Oh, he couldn't score.
And then you and Harry were in his office, and I don't think Harry was too fond of
him. No, Harry didn't really like him. Well, I think I'm the only guy in the world that liked them at that time.
And then he come into your room.
He come into the room, and Harry is there, and Harry's sitting, I'll never forget this, he's sitting across the thing, and he said, Grapes, I'm playing horseshit. He said, bench me. It would have been easy. And Harry looked at me, please bench me, because he didn't. I said, get out of here. And you tell Tim.
So then he went in, and that year he led the playoffs in goals. Got 11 goals. I think he had 7 goals in against LA. He scored 7 goals on 11 shots. And then he went on, and I was looking at the stats and who led the points. So it was Bobby Schmutz in goals, and then it was Guy Lafleur for the next 6 points, short handed goals, everything. But
if you hadn't seen Guy Lafleur play, boy, you missed the...
He was a character.
He was
beautiful.
Can
remember him in all
Bobby
those teams.
Schmutz.
Remember he had his finger? Remember he didn't have a pinky finger? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Little finger cut off.
His little baby finger. It was half cut off.
And
in Rochester, I was young in there. And so what he would do is, God, it was funny. He'd pretend he'd be like somewhere.
He was moving a table.
No. Well, that was the other story he did. He pretended he was picking his nose. And you try not to look at someone picking their nose, but the finger would have looked like it was half through his brain. And he'd be grinding. And I couldn't, as a little girl, take my eyes off of him. And then the other joke was, when he put tables together in a restaurant, he'd go, come on, let's put these tables together. And he would put them together, and he'd go, oh, my finger. And he would pretend that you cut off my finger. Was so funny.
We thought it was funny to us.
Yeah, how good a friend he was that we had our house in North Andover, and he put the roof on for us.
Yeah, that summer.
That summer.
Oh, I get more stories to tell about him.
I remember he fell off the roof.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He's
banging away. And then, so mom, I think it was mom and his wife, Paula, and I were sitting there, and we see him going up the ladder, and then we kind of hear something, and then we look out, and we see him going up the ladder again. We go, what happened? Oh, I just fell off the roof and stuff like that. But then I remember, and he came over again to fix the roof. There's something wrong with it. You had just gone signed with Colorado, and Mike Nolan, who was a reporter over at ABC in Denver, was doing a story called Rocky Hockey, and Bobby was doing the roof. And he said, I don't think he knew who he was, so Mike Nolan says, hey, cut that out. We're taping here. So Schwatzy was just hammering as hard as he could.
Yeah. And worst thing to say is that you're being interviewed, or tell him to stop doing stuff.
Stops doing, yeah. So he was, he terrified the league, though. Like, oh. I think in Slapshot, if you're talking Dr. Hook, I think Dr. Hook was.
Should we define what wasting a shot means? Is that not talkable?
Well, he used to come down. We better stop pretty soon here. I got more stories to tell about him. I'll think of him next week. That he'd come down on a goaltender if he felt that he couldn't, he'd rifle it as, well, let's say he put it high.
Put it high? Okay.
Yeah, and the next time down, he'd put it right along the ice. I don't blame goalies for anybody. And he had a stick. It was like a curve. And he used to, now I'm getting carried away. I used to say, with about 5 minutes to go in a game, Schmatzy, I'd just say Schmatzy, and he'd change sticks. Because
they get caught.
Well, he had an illegal stick.
Yeah,
like most of the guys.
Well,
do.
That's how you do it. You always change the sticks, but a lot of guys don't. Coaches don't do that.
Well,
right?
They don't do it now. They don't. I look at the sticks now on the bench. There's a lot of illegal sticks. They just don't want to call it because they get a penalty.
Yeah. Well, we just wanted to say hello. I know Bobby's listening out west, and we just wanted to say hello to him.
I know he listens to all every Tuesday. He listens to it. Well, Tim, you got an email from Chris. Yes. Tell us about it. And
Chris Thaler, we talked about him last week, and it's kind of sad. Some of the people that we made friends with, the Ice Dogs, you lose track of, and I guess he heard the podcast and sent over a message on Facebook, and so it was nice to hear from him.
Nice to hear from Chris, and with the one player I picked, the only player I picked when I was with the Ice Dogs, and he was a beauty. I still remember him. He was. He had the heart of a lion, I'll tell you.